Okay, this coming Erev Shabbos, we are going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parsha Shlach Lecha, which of course tells us the entire story of the episode with the Meraglim, and it opens up with that famous command, Shlach Lecha An Hashem, send spies for yourself. Rav Shachter Shlita would often tell us the drush of Rav Soloveitchik, who noted that Moshe Rabbeinu really didn't want to send the spies, but that he needed to, because Bnei Yisrael were like a chasan and Eretz Yisrael like a kala. And like the Gemara says, Asal Adam Sheikadish Saisha Ad Sheirena, it's forbidden to marry a girl until you see her. And so hence Hashem thought it would be a simple visit and approval. But unfortunately, the chosen spies, the people who were there to check her out, had other plans in mind. It's like when sometimes people date, they go into the world of dating and they ask themselves, I'm going to go out with the girl to see what she's hiding. As that's one of the great challenges we have in our dating world today, that our people are so involved in telling people not to see what works, but to see what doesn't work. And they wonder why we have those crises. Shlach Lecha An Hashem, you're trying to find something good for yourself. Make it work. If you do, it'll be something positive. And of course, what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu finds these guys who are all Kulam An Hashem, Rashi B'nei Yisrael Hema. They're all men who were leaders of Bnei Yisrael. Now, how could people who are identified with such greatness become people capable of such destruction and chaos? So Shmuel Rozovsky Zatzal, the late great Panovich Rosh Yeshiva, explains that when a person sees himself as a fool, then he does foolish things. And that's the meaning of the pasuk, Kidor Tapuchos Hema Banim Lo Emum Bum. When we see ourselves in a backward, lowered, foolish position, we make mistakes, big mistakes. It's very similar to that which the late great Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal used to say about grasshoppers. He used to remind us, this pasuk also appears in the parsha, V'anihi be'inenu kechagavim v'chein ha'inu be'inehem. We were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and that's the way we were perceived. And Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says, and I remember him telling it to us in his thunderous voice, coming from his weak, frail body, he said, if you think you are a grasshopper, then you are a grasshopper. A person has to be something above a grasshopper. A person has to realize that if he shouldn't see himself in a backward, lowered, foolish position, and that will keep him away from making mistakes. And then the Torah tells us, Moshe commanded Bnei Yisrael the Meraglim, v'hischazaktem, you will become strong. What is the extra instruction? V'ischazaktem v'ulakachtem mipri haaretz. What does it come to teach? So Rashi explains it means that the people, the Meraglim, will need the strength in order to take the fruit, which were expected to be large-sized fruit, and that's the way they were. Ramban argues that the strength would be needed in order to not be afraid to take the fruit, because their people are going to be worried if we take fruit, will be recognized as spies, because who else takes fruit? But Rav Chaim Feinstein Shlita, the son of Rav Michal Feinstein Zatzal, offers the third possibility. He says, Rav Chaim, the Gemara in Bava Basra, and Daf Lamed Aleph, Amad Aleph, notes that a person lacks the strength and chutzpah to take things that aren't his. And so thus, the command, v'hischazaktem, is in order to realize that Eretz Yisrael is yours, and the fruit you're going to take is already yours, and there, in that you need to have the strength in Emunah and Eretz Yisrael to be able to take Mipri Haaretz. Of course, unfortunately, that advice was not heeded by the Meraglim, and of course they come back with their negative report, and they cry all night, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very angry at them, and he decides he's going to wipe them out. And Moshe davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recites a version of the Yud Gimel Midos, and Hashem utters the following phrase in Perek Yudalad Pasuk Chaf, Bayomer Hashem Solachti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I forgave them, Kidvarecha, just like you said. Now, if Hashem forgave them, then why did they have to die? You know, the rest of the punishment was, you forgave them, but Bamidbar Azeh Yiplu Pegrechem. Why did they have to die? So Rav Amital Zatzal, the late great Rosh Yeshiva of Haaretz Yo, noted that from this we learn that what we need to do is not always what ideally should be done, says Rav Amital. It's not always the ideal situation. Rather, we need to ask ourselves whether we're on a sufficient level to merit doing what we're proposing to do. One has to be on a certain level in order to merit performing a mitzvah. And if one hasn't yet achieved that level, then the performance of the mitzvah is not worthwhile and possibly could be detrimental. So although they were not punished for their sin, the Dor HaMidbar have shown that they are not on a sufficiently high spiritual level to enter the land and to live under natural conditions. And so thus there's no choice but to let them die off in the desert and to look to the next generation. It's not a punishment, it's a reflection of the fact that they're not worthy in themselves, as they showed by their sin of entering the land. They don't get a chance to go into the land. They showed they didn't deserve it. So it's not salachti kidvarecha and now all of a sudden everything is okay. No, it's salachti kidvarecha, but you don't get to go in. So then the next day the people got up and they said, Hinenu ve'alinu al hamakom. Here we are, we are going to go up into the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, ki chatanu. It's interesting to note that Hashem forgave the people for the sin of Avodah Zarah with the eagle, but not for the sin of not wanting Eretz Yisrael. And thus we see that the sin of not wanting Eretz Yisrael is as serious as overt kfira. Why and how is that so? So Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal noted that the sin is identified in Tehillim as being part of the fact that Vayimasu be'eretz chemda, that the people were disgusted with Eretz Chemdas. So Rabbi Yashiv noted that the term Eretz Chemdas refers specifically to the spiritual aspects of the land, centered and anchored in the fact that it's the home of the Beis HaMikdash. And so Rabbi Yashiv added that the Meraglim were excited about the economic and physical attributes of the land. They did come back and say, V'gam zavaz chalav udvashi v'zepiria. Yes, but it wasn't the spiritual aspects that they were scared about. This is consistent, of course, with the thought that we've expressed on a number of occasions in the name of Rav Chaim Yaakov Govicht, who used to also always point out that the Meraglim themselves certainly did not feared that Bnei Yisrael were going to go into the land of Israel and they weren't going to know how to proceed and live in the land. And somebody has to rise to the occasion and not live that way. After the episode of the Meraglim, we received two major mitzvos, the mitzvah of Nesachim, the mitzvah of Challah. So in regard to the first, we're told, V'yayin l'nesach Rivi Yisahin. Why is it necessary to focus on the mitzvah of Nesachim when they came into the land, and why this mitzvah at this point in time? So at this point, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal explains that when a person brings a nedava, when a person brings a gift to the Beis HaMikdash, then he or she is obligated in Nesachim. When somebody voluntarily decides to perform mitzvos, we can be sure that he or she will continue to perform them. This needs to be the focus of each person, and as such, the Nesachim are given a certain preference over here. We're also told, Rishis arisosechem chala titnu. And the Sforno notes that after the sin of the Meraglim, the people needed the mitzvah of chala so that they would have the impetus for a bracha within their homes. Rav Gifter Zatzal, the late great, tells Rosh Hashiva, adds, that it wasn't enough to have them separate the trum and the maaser from the unprocessed grains in the field. The people needed to take that which they had processed in their homes and instill the idea that even this is to be dedicated to Hashem. That action would help build their faith. That action would give them the opportunity. Finally, this week we read the Haftorah from the story of the Meraglim who went in the time of Yehoshua to check out the city of Yericho. Rabbi Eliezer Balabit Shlita noted the uniqueness of Yericho. He noted that Yericho was all that remained from the physical areas that Lot saw when he chose to live in stone. These areas provided physical beauty and the tastiest of fruit. And it's this attraction to base physicality that excited the despised Canaanim, who were especially devoid of any sense of spirituality. Removing that area by walking around seven times, which, according to Rav Melamed, removed seven layers of chol that surrounded, allowed the Kedushas HaAretz to be apparent and displayed ridding Eretz Yisrael from that which is simple, physical, and devoid of spirituality. The world of Eretz Yisrael that we live in today, the Medina, etc., we need to recognize that even that which is on the surface apparently physical, base, gashmizdik, as they say, is really spiritual in nature. When we get that into our heads, we will be able to appreciate the geula, the one that has taken place in its tchila, and the one that Be'ezus Hashem we will all merit to be able to achieve in the future. Shabbat Shalom to all.